Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And hey, join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on Wednesday, June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. So if you want to support Souls for Souls, but you can't come golf with us, then check out our silent auction items. Just go to thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. The Titans hit the field for OTAs yesterday. We could not be there with the Predators press conference, so Nick Suss of the Tennessean will join us in 15 minutes. We'll get his breakdown of what he saw at Titans OTAs. But there are a bunch of things that stood out to me reading people's reports, looking through the tweets from Tron Davenport and Paul Kaharski and all of our colleagues here at 102.5 The Game. But one thing that really stood out to me was the reaction to Will Levis's day. And I'll go to Nick Suss's article in the Tennessean from his four takeaways. One of them is there still clearly isn't a quarterback battle. Says veteran Ryan Tannehill has been labeled the Titans starting quarterback all offseason, including in the hours after the Titans used a second-round draft pick on Kentucky product Will Levis. So Levis and Willis battled bouts of inconsistency and inaccuracy, each making impressive throws and showing strong ability to make plays moving outside the pocket, but struggling to maintain top form. Overall takeaway from that is you saw some good things, you saw some bad things. One of Will Levis's biggest issues in college was consistency. So it does not surprise me that on May 31st, Will Levis was showing signs of inconsistency. It doesn't bother me that Will Levis maybe didn't have the best day in practice yesterday. It's still early. At this point in time, Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback, and this is kind of a redshirt year for Will Levis. Sit on the bench, grow, learn from Ryan Tannehill. So I've seen a lot of panic button pushing and red flag waving of Will Levis's day yesterday, and you please correct me if you think I'm wrong. I'll be concerned when I need to be concerned. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm just not concerned. And we weren't there. We didn't see it. But just based off of people's reactions and evaluations of the day, I'm just not concerned.
I could tell you right now, I didn't have to be there. And I can tell you they're overreacting. Just relax. What were we, a couple of days into OTAs? The man just got the playbook in his hand. He just got finished, you know, crying in his hallway because he got drafted by the Tennessee Titans in the second round. Okay, this is new to him. All of this is new to him. So I didn't have to be there to know to just relax. If he had a great day, relax because he's going to have a bad day. He's had a bad day. Relax because he's going to have a really good day. Okay? This is nothing more than, and they're there, and you know, these are some good journalists, and they're just putting together what they're seeing. But, you know, you just want to caution them. Don't put people on this roller coaster, especially if people that are not seeing this and doesn't understand and already sort of on the fence with the Titans and whether to keep Ryan or why did they draft Will Levis and all this other stuff. Now you're going to send them on this yo-yo before they even get an opportunity to see him in camp. Because I guarantee you, I'm telling you, I don't even have to be there. And I tell you, he's going to have a bad day. He's going to make some horrible passes. He's going to have a good day. He's going to make some passes that make many think that, man, he should be the starter right now. But he's not. And he won't be right now. So you take it for what it's worth. You look at it. You dissect it. You say, okay, he had a bad day. But he also, you know, we've seen some articles, too, prior to the OTAs that, man, the ball comes off his hands so good. He looks so poised and yada, yada, yada. Just relax, man. Go back to Aaron Rodgers. R-E-L-A-X. Relax, people. We got a long way to go.
Yes.
You know? And Ryan is doing what he's supposed to do.
This is only coming from one place, and that is people are bored.
Yeah.
Like, I would encourage you, branch out. Watch Tennessee in the College World Series in softball. They're beating Alabama for nothing.
Drink
watch
a Dr. Pepper.
Watch
eat
a little
moon
baseball.
Pie.
Exactly. Yeah. Branch out. Have some fun. Do something.
Transformers coming out in another week. Look forward to seeing that.
Breaking news, Tyron Lawrence is coming back officially to Vanderbilt basketball.
There we go.
They're back in the game.
Absolutely.
Another one where everybody was panicking, and I would probably was panicking too when he said, I'm in the transfer portal. I was like, wait a minute, come on. You're doing so well. Why would you? But he's back. Everything's good. And we're all good, Tyron. All right. So I think Vanderbilt basketball is really doing cartwheels right now. Jerry Stackhouse feeling really good about what's going on. But my point is on the 11th, let's not get so tunnel vision that we're eating up everything that happens in every practice. Mm-hmm. All it takes is for one person, and I'll give you the example. I'm just scrolling. I'm doing what I normally do in the morning or at night, just scrolling. And everybody has the same video. Will Levis against air.
Uh-huh.
It's just a footwork drill.
It was a good throw.
He sails it over they're trying to throw it in the little hole, right? It's like, it's just like the carnival.
Exactly.
I'm throwing it through the tire. It's a variation of that, but you're going through a progression. You're going through your mental reps. You're working on your footwork. Mm-hmm. And he hums it, and it goes over the thing. He doesn't come anywhere close.
Uh-huh.
It just takes one yo-yo to put that out there, and then somebody goes, oh, Will Levis, he's terrible. I mean, he's accurate. I told you he wasn't accurate. Everything they're saying is right. It's just for one throw that somebody puts on there, and it's a tunnel vision. It's an echo chamber, mm-hmm. and that throw circulates. It doesn't even matter if the next five go in.
Mm-hmm.
That one throw is like, huh, I see. Everything I told you about Will Levis is right. And then somebody even tweets the box score of his game against Tennessee.
Did they?
And then the box score, and they lost to Vanderbilt. You know, and so it just snowballs. It's like, dude, it's one pass from one drill. He's going to do the same drill tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool it. So like, we need to come up with like Mr. Cool, like a relaxing atmosphere, something to calm these people down.
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. We need Mr. Freeze.
I think there's a couple of things here. One, this is what happens when it doesn't matter where a player was drafted, first round, second round, seventh round, if they have first round hype, everything they do is going to be dissected and picked apart under a microscope. Mm-hmm. I feel like every time I lift my head up with ESPN on the TV, they're talking about Will Levis. And I don't know where the obsession, the national obsession with Will Levis came from, but everyone is talking about Will Levis, how he looks, the competition with Ryan Tannehill. That's what comes with a guy who had the hype of a top five pick, no matter where he was taken. The second thing, a lot of things that we've been talking about since Will Levis was drafted was, is there going to be a potential taker out there for Ryan Tannehill? Look at the Raiders and their situation. Jimmy Garoppolo failed the physical. Could Ryan Tannehill be an attractive trade partner with the Las Vegas Raiders? That all comes down to the caveat of what does Will Levis look like? Because you're not trading Ryan Tannehill if Will Levis looks a certain way. You know, Will Levis has to look like he can be a legitimate starter in the NFL. So where he is right now, based off of the evaluation of the people who were able to make it to OTAs yesterday, sounds like Ryan Tannehill ain't going nowhere. That Ryan Tannehill is going to be your starting quarterback because Will Levis just doesn't look ready to start right now. And you know what? He doesn't need to be ready to start right now because they're not asking him to start right now. You want to see progress. You want to see him get better. You want to see the competition maybe get a little bit stiffer. But where we are right now, it's okay. It is going to be okay.
Well, yeah. Even if you drafted him in a top 5 or 10 picks and you expect he's going to be your starter, you have to know that he's going to have his growing pains. You know, we always look back to, you know, Peyton Manning. We always go to that. It's like Peyton Manning threw 99 interceptions his first year. And at the end of his career, he's a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest quarterbacks ever lived. I'm not saying that Will Levis will be that. Hope he is. I'm not saying that. We looked at Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago. The guy wasn't good. And many people were getting ready to write him off or damn near close to it. And then along comes a coach that really knows how to coach. And now this kid looks just like the guy we thought he was going to be. So relax. Will Levis has time. If he becomes the starter this year, if he shows it this year, then great. And I'm sure if he shows he can be a starter this year, they will put him in that position. But in their minds, they're probably thinking like, listen, we got Ryan Tannehill. We just want this guy to get better. And if he gets better, we know he's going to have growing pains. We know he's going to throw some interceptions during the practice. We know he's going to misread some things. We know he's not going to find open receiver every now and then. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at, is he making a progression? Is he, you know, the things that he did yesterday bad, are he continually to do those things bad the next day and the next day? If he's not, if he's getting better each and every day, if he's learning from the things that he did bad and getting better the next day, that's all we want. So, yes, he will throw an interception. We know that. We didn't say, Will Levis, we're bringing you in here. You better not throw a damn interception in practice. If you do, you're out of here. No, he didn't say that. They know he's going to throw a
kick rocks,
exactly.
Will.
They know he's going to throw the ball. They know Treylon Burks is going to be running across the middle at 15 yards, and he's going to throw it as if he's throwing it to Yao Ming, which means he's throwing it 10 feet up in the air. He might throw it like that, and they know it. They just don't hope he, they just hope he doesn't do that as much.
Why do you have to be mad?
So, yeah. But, you know, you're going to report it because you see it. But I think sometimes you got to also sort of, hey, listen, these are the things he did good. These are the things he did bad. You know, he's a rookie, and hopefully he can work on it.
We weren't able to be out at OTAs yesterday given the Predators press conference, but Nick Suss of the Tennessean was there, so he will join us coming up next. We'll get his takeaways from practice yesterday. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Nick was out at Titans OTAs yesterday when we couldn't be, so Nick's given us the full breakdown. Nick, appreciate you for joining us. We were just chatting about your four takeaways from Titans OTAs yesterday. And one thing that I read in your article and something that I heard a lot on social media was about Will Levis's day. What was your kind of full breakdown, full analysis within the guidelines of what we can say of Will Levis's day compared to the rest of the quarterback room?
Yeah, simply put, he's the guy we kind of thought he'd be 1 month into Titans practices. Like, I don't want to make too much out of guy who people said might be a project being a project.
Right.
Like, look, if you're comparing the way the ball comes out of his hand to the way the ball comes out of Ryan Tannehill's hand, it's not the same. And maybe it never will be the same. Maybe it's just not the same yet. But one of them's a 12-year pro who's had a lot of success in the league. One of them's a guy who's still trying to refine his talents as a downfield thrower, as an over-the-middle thrower, as a guy who moves around in the pocket. I thought that there were a couple of throws he made yesterday I was really impressed by, of his ability to step up in the pocket, move around, kind of throw on the run, find receivers downfield, keep his eyes downfield. I think that there are some innate skills there that get you excited, but you also see some inconsistency, see some inaccuracy, see some frustration boiling up at times, and that's natural. I think back to something Tannehill said yesterday about this is the time of year to make good mistakes, and I think that's kind of where Levis is at, where Malik Willis is at, where just about any young player on this team is at, is you're trying to figure out who you are as a professional football player. Will Levis has only been a professional football player for a month, month and a half. It's going to take some time for him to figure out who he is, and I don't know if he's necessarily gotten there yet, which is as to be expected.
Nick Suss is with us. One guy that I think needed a really good offseason, and one guy that I know I'm encouraged by, and it sounds like you are too based off of your most recent article in the Tennessean, is Treylon Burks. Everything sure. That he's done throughout the offseason, I've been really encouraged and enthused by. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, he looks like a guy who's more comfortable with what he's doing, and that's obviously what you want year one into year two for a receiver. The bar tends to be pretty low for what the Titans need from a number one receiver, given the way the offense runs. And even if you're running a faster tempo, you're still more of a methodical team when you have Derrick Henry on roster. But if this is a guy who can play in 17 games next year, if he can get to 850 yards, which is about what he'd be expected to in the average year one to year two jump for first round receivers, if he can get to 850 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, that's exactly what this team needs. And based off the way he looks, I think he can get there. I think he can be a little bit better than that. And if that's the way this offense is structured, is Treylon can be in that 800 to 1,000 yards range and feel comfortable and draw a couple of safeties a little deeper and you know, help the running game have a little more success getting past 2-3 yards downfield, I think that's a blessing for this team.
We'll talk with Nick Suss of the Tennessee, and he was out at Tennessee Titans practice yesterday, OTAs. Now, Nick, was Harold Landry out there? If he was, how did he look? And then the other guys that they brought in, Arden Key, those guys, how did they look out there?
Yeah, Harold's not out there yet. A whole list of defensive guys aren't out there yet. Harold and Caleb Farley because of injury, and then Kevin Byard, Christian Fullen, Imani Hooker, and Sean Murphy Bunting weren't out there in the secondary of just not being out there for the optional practice. But when it comes to those other guys up front, I've been impressed with Arden Key. I think that he's going to be a really important player for this team, not just for, you know, his ability to rush the passer off the edge and pair with Harold Landry when he gets healthy, but also his ability to let Denico Autry play more on the inside, free up that defensive line to be a little bit more versatile with what Tier Tart and Jeffrey Simmons and Autry and some of these other guys can do. I think his presence, his ability to be vocal, be animated, it's something the Titans necessarily didn't have last year. I think that he's somebody who's going to definitely be that vocal energy piece, which is something every defense seemingly should have. And also, he's just a gifted pass rusher. You can never have too many of those. So I think he's an exciting add for the Titans.
Now, the one guy I'm interested about, and he wasn't out there, was Caleb Farley. You just mentioned he wasn't out there. Now, with him, how do you think they approached this with him this year? Because they did add depth to the cornerback room this offseason, but I'm sure they're hoping that he can get over his injury issues. But how do you think they proceed with Caleb Farley?
It's such an interesting situation because you think back to last year, even before the injury, he was a special teams guy. He's got all this talent in the world, and when he was at his healthiest last year, which granted he still might not have been 100%, but who he was last year wasn't good enough to crack the top of the cornerback rotation. I think what they're focusing on right now is just making sure that he's confident enough and healthy enough to be who he can be. I don't know that anybody at this point knows who that is. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that achieves that first round potential from when the Titans drafted him. Maybe he can be, but right now they just have to focus on getting him mentally and physically prepared to think he can be that guy, because all of the on-the-field stuff, that's going to come second. You got to figure out the technique and all that, and it's super important. But this is a dude who, through 2 years in the NFL, has been through the ringer. I think that just they have to take care of making sure he can be on the field before they focus on can he beat out a Christian Fulton or Roger McCreary or Sean Murphy Bunting or any of these guys as a starting corner.
We're talking to Nick Suss, who is the beat writer for the Titans, for the Tennessean, and for those that, you know, you might put the connection together if you're an SEC fan. We used to talk to Nick a lot when he was covering Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and we've had him on before. So, Nick, it's great to talk to you again, and I was reminded about your love for sitcoms. And, of course, we love talking TV on this show from time to time here. But so how do we feel about the overall health of the sitcom these days? Because D-Mace and I go back. I mean, we're Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, Alice, you know, late 70s. This is our lives. We had a long talk
different
about
strokes.
Jumping the shark. Yes. Like with Happy Days, we actually were talking about Fonz jumping the shark not too long ago. So we share the same passion.
Sure, yeah. The sitcom is in an interesting place, and I'm glad that you've given me an hour and a half to talk about it, I assume.
Forget about the Titans. Let's talk sitcoms.
No, so this was a crux week for sitcoms with three major ones, three kind of era-defining ones coming to a close. Barry, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Ted Lasso. I won't give spoilers for any of them because I assume people aren't as plugged in as I am, but I think that we're seeing the effect of Ted Lasso ring through sitcoms. A lot of very gentle, very motivational shows coming out, which you're seeing on network with shows like Abbott Elementary, and you're seeing on streaming with shows like Shrinking, shows like, what's it called? Our Flag Means Death, the pirate show on HBO Max that didn't get anywhere near enough credit. A lot of great shows in that vein. If you're talking about the Alice-style conventional four-camera sitcoms, I don't know if we're getting very many Sanford and Son reboots these days. I did get a kick out of Rob Lowe's show, what was that called? Unstable on Netflix. That wasn't a four-camera show, but that one had some heart to it. If you want an under-the-radar one that came out this year, there is a show called Extraordinary on Hulu that's kind of a superhero kind of comedy show that it's very raunchy. I'm not going to recommend it if you're watching with kids around, but it's got, it's got some of the best gags I've seen of the year. And the Night Court reboot doesn't suck.
Really? Okay. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, it doesn't
suck. I was
suck.
Skeptical. I saw that. I was like, really? Can you pull that off?
No, it's fine. And that 90s show was also in the doesn't suck category. If you're into reboots, that 90s show doesn't suck. Night Court doesn't suck. How I Met Your Father. I have feelings about it, but I've seen every episode. There are shows that don't stink if you like old school sitcoms, but the new school stuff seems to be winning.
I'm always a little afraid of a reboot. Like, I don't want you to spoil a good thing, so you better bring it strong if you're going to do it. So I'm glad to hear that Night Court, which used to be on one of the greatest nights of TV there, I'm glad it doesn't suck. But let me sneak in one Titans question for you,
sure,
Nick, before we let you go. Skoronski, just your first impression. I know you put a little video out there. Again, it's not time to overreact, but people, I'm sure, are really curious to see how he's doing out there.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Obviously, the learning guard and tackle at the same time is going to raise some eyebrows. There are a lot of fans who don't want to see a team pick a guard number 11, and if he ends up playing guard this year, there are going to be people confused by the pick. But I'll just put it out blankly. I usually don't speak this bluntly. I think he's going to be the best blocker the Titans have. I don't care what position he plays at. The dude is good at blocking. And I talked to Coach Haas, Jason Hoteling, the offensive line coach, yesterday, and I was asking him about the arm length stuff, asking him about the positional versatility stuff. And look, at the end of the day, all they want him to do is make blocks. They don't care about how long his arms are. They don't care about what position he's playing. If he's playing the job he's playing and he's grading out well, he's doing the job they drafted him to do, which is improve the offensive line. And I think regardless of if he's playing guard or tackle, regardless of if he's got short arms or long arms, whatever insults you want to hurl at him or whatever pejoratives you want to say about positional value, they weren't good at blocking last year, and they drafted a guy who's really good at blocking. So that in itself feels like an improvement.
Derek, great catches. Yeah. You know, you caught 8 passes, but your arms just aren't long enough. Yeah, I don't know if we can put you out there next week.
but didn't I just catch all the passes?
But your arms, they're just not long enough. Can you grow those a little bit? Can you stretch? Like Bobby Brady and the Brady Bunch trying to get a little taller?
I can hang on the monkey bars and stretch for about 2 hours. I don't think that's going
to
work.
Brady Bunch taught us that doesn't work.
Exactly.
Right? Just working it back to the sitcom.
Nick, I will say, doesn't suck is one of my favorite soft endorsements of something. It doesn't suck. So that's the threshold. Nick Suss is with us from the Tennessee. And last one for you, Nick. Should the Titans pursue DeAndre Hopkins? And based off of Mike Vrabel's comments yesterday, do you think that they are?
Should's a weird word here, because teams should always try and get better players. And DeAndre Hopkins is better than certainly who the Titans are probably going to have as their number 3 or 4 receiver. And if you have 3 or 4 receivers on the field, getting a better player is good. Will they? Probably in a soft way. I think they will be in the sweepstakes, but I feel like this is a free agency that is more about DeAndre picking which teams he wants to talk to than it is teams that want DeAndre getting to talk to him. I think it probably would have been easier to land him had it been a trade than it would have in free agency. But the Titans receiving core, I looked this up yesterday. DeAndre's played 10 NFL seasons. Last year he had 730 or so receiving yards, and that was his second worst season in his career, and it's 170 more yards than any other Titans player has had in their career best season. Like, obviously this guy on the downturn is still an improvement over most of these Titans players at their best. That said, you have to talk about how he would fit on the team. You have to talk about positional value. You have to talk about salary cap stuff. You have to talk about chemistry. All of this is going to play in. If it's purely we're playing Madden and you're trying to get the best overall team rating, go get DeAndre Hopkins. If you're talking about this is a team that has a specific plan for what it wants, I say pursue it, but don't bet the house on it, because I still think that with or without DeAndre Hopkins, this team still has weaknesses elsewhere.
Nick Suss of the Tennessean, appreciate you for joining us and always appreciate your breakdowns on the Tennessean. We'll chat with you soon.
Yeah, let's talk soon.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Nick. And that's what I want to get into coming up next, because Mike Vrabel was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. what he had to say about the team's interest. We'll get
into that.
And
did Nick ask Mike Vrabel what his favorite sitcom was?
Also that, coming up
next.
Is
that possible?
Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106 for the game. Should the Titans pursue D-Hop?
You know, I don't think so. You know, D-Hop had a little list, too. I'm not sure that the Titans necessarily fit his list either. And I think that probably, like, recent memory with veteran receivers that the Titans have tried to sign to have it work out, just doesn't feel like that would necessarily be the right fit. It sounds like you know, Kansas City could be interested. It sounds like Cleveland could maybe be interested. And so I think there'll be probably other teams that are more desperate to add him. And with that being the case, Buffalo, another one in the mix there. With that being the case, like I would not go chase that if I were the Tennessee Titans.
Why not?
You know, I just think he's 31 years old. The production the last 2 years, albeit some of it a suspension, you know, last year, he also was injured, you know, 2 years prior to that. And, you know, receiver is a position that, look, it's not all that different than running back. Like it's a young, fast man's game. And I think that when you start to get with older guys, there are just other issues in terms of can they practice? Can they still run? Like all of those things. And look, I think the Titans experienced it with Julio Jones. And so I just think you got to be careful for it. Look, if it's a team-friendly deal, sure. But if you have other people interested and you're competing for them, then I'm not as crazy about it.
That was Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, on our show earlier this week. He says, if I'm the Titans, I'm not chasing DeAndre Hopkins. And I would probably agree that you don't want to overpay for DeAndre Hopkins. You don't want to get into a bidding war for DeAndre Hopkins. But I think there's a difference between chase and pursue to at least see what it would take. And Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday by TD at OTAs, are the Titans pursuing DeAndre Hopkins? This was Mike Vrabel.
I think our focus has always been about the players that we have here. And we'll keep you updated as, you know, we continue to add players to the roster.
A guy like that available, is that kind of what you were touching on when you had mentioned, you know, how there's another phase of free agency, how it's not finished?
All players come available at different times of the year, all the way up until the trade deadline. And then, you know, some of those veteran players that may be out there that signed throughout the offseason and training camp and even into the season. So player acquisition is always going to be something that you can try to add to your roster at different times.
So kind of classic Mike Vrabel, not really giving us much.
That curtain.
That curtain is iron. That curtain is iron. I mean, tell me if you interpreted that differently. I don't get any feeling one way or another about whether the Titans are interested in DeAndre Hopkins or not. He said, I want to focus on the players here, but I don't think that necessarily means that they're not looking elsewhere. They're going to have to look elsewhere.
Well, yeah, I think they're looking at what's available, what can potentially be available. I think whether they kick the tires on this Hopkins thing or not, I think any team would try to get better. You know, and Tim said it. I mean, even Nick said it. Listen, if you're trying to get better, you're sort of looking at everybody. You know, everybody that's out there, and if they can make your team better, then you want to at least inquire about that person, see what that person's thinking, see what their team is thinking. And I do believe Nick when he said, they said it had probably been a little bit easier to get him via trade than it is now, because it's not a coincidence that Hop comes out with this list of five guys, and I don't know how the question was phrased. I think the question was phrased, you know, name quarterbacks that you would love to catch passes from, not necessarily that you would love to play with or you're thinking about playing with, you know, who you would love catching passes from. Well, he names these five quarterbacks, and then subsequently, right after that, he gets cut. You know, because in Cardinals' minds, like, he's not even with us. They're looking at it as he's thinking about other guys. He's not on the same page. He doesn't, you know, what we're thinking as an organization and what he's thinking as a player doesn't mesh. So we might as well cut the cord right now instead of trying to trade, because we know we're not going to be able to facilitate that because of the contract. Let's let him go now. Well, Not only did Carolina hear that, the Cardinals hear that, everybody else heard that too in the NFL. These are the five quarterbacks that he wants to catch passes from. He didn't name Ryan Tannehill. He didn't name Jimmy G. He didn't name...
I don't think anybody's catching passes from Jimmy G.
He didn't name Derek Carr. He didn't name, all these other quarterbacks. Hell, he didn't even name the Jets quarterback. I was losing
Aaron
my
Rodgers.
Mind. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. He didn't even name Aaron Rodgers. Of all those quarterbacks, he didn't name Aaron Rodgers. He named five specific quarterbacks that he would love to catch passes from. And all of a sudden, now those five quarterbacks are sort of in the – those five teams are now in the sort of mix in regards to where he could potentially land. Some teams more than others, but these are the five teams. He didn't mention the Titans. Ain't nobody talking about the Titans. They may say, yeah, the Titans need him, which they do, but nobody's giving that serious thought. The only way I believe he comes here, the package has to be big for him to come here. The dough has to be massive for him to come here, at least in my opinion. Or, man, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, they got to be doing some hell of a talking to convince him to come here. Because the other five teams are in a place that the Tennessee Titans are not in. Super Bowl mode. Not that the Titans don't want a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, because they do. But you're looking at where they're at. They're not in that position, it seems, right now, to win a Super Bowl. Playoffs, yeah, they can make it to the playoffs. Anything can happen. Super Bowl, more a little bit outside, sort of that circle. Buffalo, the Chiefs, Chargers, Baltimore. What was that fifth team? He named somebody else. Those teams are in the running for a Super Bowl. And those teams have damn good quarterbacks. And he can go to one in particular and possibly take less, knowing that more than likely he will win a Super Bowl or at least be in a Super Bowl. And that team's the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care how much money they've spent. He will take a pay cut to go with the Chiefs. Why? Because he will get the targets, which means he will get the yardage, and he will be in line to at least make it to the Super Bowl in his mind.
Then why hasn't he done it already?
Because teams, it's going to be a slow process. He's just not going to, or Kansas City is not just going to jump out there and offer him a contract. Obviously, they got to get their ducks in a row, and, he has to figure it out, and these other teams have to figure it out. Just because he was released, say on a Wednesday, a team's not then going to sign him on a Thursday, just because he's good. They're going to wait. I expect for DeAndre Hopkins to sign within the next 2 weeks. And I do believe it's going to be one of those five teams, unless a dark horse team comes out of the way. But that dark horse team still has to be a Super Bowl contending team. It can't be somebody that just may make the playoffs.
I'm with you that they would have to overpay. And I'm with Tim that he's not just where the team is and where he is in his career. To me, it's just not a good buy. And I do think, and I've been hearing it around the league, there's teams like Buffalo that are sitting there going, we wouldn't mind having them. We don't have to have them. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs would be in this category too. But they may be saying that publicly. I wonder privately, though, if there's a little recruiting pitch going, look, we can't pay you a whole lot. This is what we can do incentives-wise and stuff, but this is where we see you. Man, you would look great. We got Patrick Mahomes. Or we've got this amazing Buffalo team. We got a nasty defense. We got Josh Allen. I think there's going to be a recruiting pitch that I would think DeAndre Hopkins would want to hear, and then he's got to decide, do I want just a paycheck or do I want maybe take a little less and go where I really, really have a chance to play for a great team?
Right, because I don't think that he's getting both of those things in wherever
right.
he goes.
I would agree.
The Chiefs might look at it and say, hey, you want to play here? Then you're going to play under this dollar amount. The Titans might look at it and say, hey, we can't offer you Super Bowl contention. We can't offer you an elite quarterback, but this is the dollar amount that we can try to use to coerce you to come here. And D-Maze, you make a fair point in the things that DeAndre Hopkins wants. But I think there's a caveat there as well. So we'll continue the conversation coming up next. And I tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:04 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Elliot Friedman in 15 minutes. Caroline Ville, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I mean, he's going to say that publicly. He's going to say, I just want to go somewhere and win. If that's true, he could have signed with the Chiefs or the Bills already. You know, he could go and, you know, say to the Jets, I'll take whatever. Let's figure it out. There's, you know, it's a jammed wide receiver room. But, you know, I like the fact that you brought in Aaron Rodgers. He's a player I respect. I mean, the options are on the table for him to go to any number of situations where it's going to be a ring chasing situation. I think ultimately he's going to go to where the money is the best, just like Odell Beckham Jr. did. Odell Beckham Jr. took $15 million the second it was offered to him and canceled a visit to the Jets because he knew there was no way in hell he was going to get $15 million from the Jets. I think it'll be the same situation with Hopkins.
That was Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rextro this morning on DeAndre Hopkins. And look, DeAndre Hopkins has come out and said, I want to catch passes from Josh Allen, from Patrick Mahomes, from a bunch of these Super Bowl contending teams. And it would make sense to rationalize that by saying DeAndre Hopkins probably doesn't have the longest career left. So he wants to win a ring while he still can. I totally understand that. But that's really easy to say whenever you are getting into contract negotiations, into talks, when you're starting to date a few teams here and there. But when it really comes down to it, sometimes that hefty contract is a lot more desirable. Sometimes you can look at it and say, well, yeah, I only have a few years left to win a ring, but I also only have a few years left to cash in on these multi-million dollar contracts. So I'm going to go ahead and do that and go where the money is biggest. And he's already come out and said, not taking that pay cut to go to Kansas City. So I think that there's a certain price for DeAndre Hopkins. And I think that that's a positive thing if the Titans do indeed want to pursue DeAndre Hopkins. And D-Mace, you pointed out that he said he wants to go to a Super Bowl contending team. Mm-hmm. The caveat to that is those Super Bowl contending teams have to want him to.
Yeah, they do. Again, I think now that he's in the market now, and I said this the other day, I believe. Listen, what a guy, yeah, I did say it to Tim. What a guy believes he's worth and what he deserves and what he should get and what the market actually says, what he's worth and what they feel he deserves and get are sometimes two different things, especially as you start to get older as a player. You're thinking from a player standpoint a lot of times. We're not 100% honest with ourselves in regards to our ability. We think sometimes we're still playing at that same level or damn near close to it than we were 5-6 years ago. And probably we are further away from that than closer. So we always look at it, but you're only thinking about the things you've done, not about what you're projected to do. And maybe he realizes that once teams start offering contracts or teams aren't offering contracts, he may realize that, well, I gotta sort of reevaluate the money thing because I was basing it on what I have done and what in my body, what I still feel like,
yep,
rather than what they project me to do moving forward. Because what they're projecting me to do moving forward is based on how much money they're offering me. So maybe I got to weigh that. And then that may show him that, okay, I can go to a Kansas City Chiefs or I can go to a Buffalo and take a little less but still be in a position to win a Super Bowl.
I asked this to Tim yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to hear your side of this, Derek, but sometimes it's got to be really hard for any guy, and Tim used the example of Julio Jones being the most targeted receiver in NFL history when he got to the Titans. And obviously, his inability to stay on the field was a huge factor. But, you know, he had to adapt. He wasn't going to be. A.J. Brown was clearly the best receiver on the team, even though A.J. Brown was cheerleading, saying, you can be the number one, I'll be the number two, that's fine, we're going to have a great team. It never really played out. But this is something I'm sure the Chiefs, the Bengals, whoever is going to make this pitch, like, hey, we can't pay you that much, we'd love to have you, but can you be a role player? And they have to sell him, like, this is where we would put you, this is what we see your role, but don't expect to get 140 targets for our team. Like, how would that – it probably sits differently with different receivers. Can he be a guy that's saying, look, I just want to win. I'll take three passes a week or four passes if that's what it is, and if I earn more, you'll throw it to me more.
It's a lot easier.
That's
said than
hard
done.
Yeah. For a guy that has been a number one receiver basically his whole career. And I'm talking about
you know the feeling. Yeah,
I know the feeling.
You come off the field going, man, I'm open. Why aren't you calling my number? I know I can beat this guy.
Yeah.
I'm open.
And
I'm 7-11, 24 hours.
Hey, I'm open every time you come to me. So even when you don't come to me, I'm open. You just got to look my way. It's hard for a guy that has played at that level that Hop has played at. To then take a back seat. You know, it was hard for me, you know, year 13 and 14, to sort of take that back seat to an Anquan Boldin. Or not to say that it, you know, he and I had problems, but in my mind, and I'm sure in his mind, he was probably thinking, I could still play this game at a high level too. Like, why aren't I getting, you know, I want touches too. But when you've been the top guy for so long, and then they ask you to take a significantly less of a role, meaning you're not going to get targeted eight times a game. It might be three. It might be four. It's hard for a guy to say, okay, I'm doing it. Let's do it. Even if he knows he's on a Super Bowl winning team, because what happens is you may agree to it. Everything may be peachy creamy. We go through camp. I'm getting my targets. I'm getting more than four or five in camp. They throwing me the ball. I'm feeling good. It's like, okay.
Like I told you I'm still number one.
I told you I still got it. Yeah. But then you get in the game plan, and they start game planning things. And then the game starts to be played a little bit different, and you start to see – okay, after the first game, I got about five targets. It's like, man, I want a little bit more, but okay. And then as the season goes on, it becomes three some games. It becomes two. It becomes, man, you didn't get targeted the whole first half. And then you start to be like, what's going on here? Because I'm used to. That's where you got to, it's hard. You got to check that ego. And it's hard to check that ego when that ego has been, you know, so big for so long, and you've been able to compete at that level. Now, all of a sudden, you're telling me, check the ego to know, make it a little bit smaller because you're only getting the ball two or three times. As a player, you're like, man, I still can help. It doesn't come from a place of selfishness. It doesn't come from a place of, oh, you need – it comes from a place of, I believe I can still help the team. Yep.
And you're dependent on the quarter. You can't do anything unless the guy throws
absolutely
you the ball.
Which is why I think a team like the Titans – would be attractive to a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who has been that number one, who still wants the targets.
It wouldn't be attractive.
Who else you going to?
It wouldn't be attractive for this reason. I hope the Titans do win a lot this season, and I do hope they do win above what many have them, what, 7.5 games, somewhere around there. I hope they win above that. But when you got a player like D-Hop, and you get if you do get him to come here, if he's not getting the targets and he's not winning, oh, you're going to have a problem.
But who else are the targets going to?
You're
going to
have the problem.
Oh, you're going to have a problem.
Like someone in the text line said Miami. You think he's going to Miami where he's splitting targets with Jalen Waddle
and Miami's
Tyreek
winning.
Hill?
But Miami's winning.
But who DeAndre Hopkins would be third on the list.
But Miami's
of
winning.
Players.
You think
so
OBJ
want to win? No,
you think you think OBJ cared about how many targets he got in with the Rams?
He wanted money.
No, he wanted a Super Bowl.
And
now he's chasing
he
the money.
And
he got that Super Bowl. He didn't care how many times he was targeted.
But DeAndre Hopkins, I think that might matter to him. I don't know what matters to him, but I'm saying if targets are the issue,
I know
he's not going to Buffalo.
But what I'm saying is that this stage of his career, if he's not getting targeted 10 times or 8 times, let's say he's getting targeted 4 times, you better be winning, because winning cures everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can't complain and we're 12-1. And I got 35 catches after 13 games. Who am I going to complain to? We're winning.
Yeah, you're going to look like
exactly,
a
you're going to look like a fool. Like exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, especially as you're older, you've made the money. It's not like you're working on a contract. You've made the money. They're giving you money. Mm-hmm. So you would look like a ass for complaining to everybody. You can't do it. Like, that's why I say winning cures all of that.
It's easy for Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad to complain about Baker Mayfield on Instagram.
Because they weren't winning.
When you're 2-15.
Exactly.
And I don't, that was not the record, but just for
but they were not winning.
But they weren't winning.
If they're winning, he can't complain to nobody because people are like, dude, shut up. Y'all winning.
But yes, and that is very fair. I'm saying hypothetically, yeah, a team like the Titans, where there's really no other competition. And that's no disrespect to Treylon Burks, mm-hmm, because Treylon Burks still is going to be your number one, whoever else comes into this room. But D-Hop would get a good bit of the looks. Mm-hmm. Because who are you throwing to? D-Hop or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? Give me DeAndre Hopkins all day long, all day long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It was a big week for the Nashville Predators, so Elliot Friedman will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.